guess that line forms on the right bay.
Now I'm just going through the motions on this one.
Back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 3 hours. You know how it works. Until the warm-up show at 5. Me and Fleegs rolling with you. The number to call, 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Well, we told you how important these games were for both the Mets and the Yankees. Mets starting a homestand with Washington, and they started off right with a 7-5 victory. Yes, the bullpen's still an issue, but the offense does what it does. Nimmo and Lindor carrying this team. Quintana, we're going to get to in a second. And his improvement over the last three starts and what that means for this team. But let's start, of course, just briefly with the New York Yankees and the disaster that continue. Whether Brian Cashman shows up. Oh, Cash was there. Oh, well, you know, I wanted to be here anyway. You know, the draft, we meet in Tampa, yeah. Showed his face. It didn't have the same appeal that it had back in 09 when he showed up right before in Atlanta, if we remember that. Francisco Cervelli hits the home run. Joe Girardi gets thrown out. And away that 09 team went. The difference is they had Mark Teixeira, Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, Robinson Cano. And I don't know who this team has. And watching Carlos Rodon again, you know, they get the first run in the first inning. Gleyber Torres, who's had better at-bats, you can't argue, and I know we all hate him, he's had better at-bats. He comes through the base hit to give them a 1-0 lead, and for a brief moment, you felt like maybe they were going to do something. And now Carlos Rodon, who, you know, everyone's going to get mad at Boone and everything else, he did lock in and pitch better for the next three innings. Fantastic. The problem is, when this team is playing the way it's playing, and now have lost 17 of their last 23, or whatever the stupid number is, you cannot take the lead and have it evaporate in one inning against one of the worst hitting teams in Major League Baseball. And the Rays are not the Rays this year. They're a couple games under 500. They haven't really hit well. They haven't pitched well. They're not a very good baseball team. And as they prepare for these two series against Tampa Bay and against Baltimore, heading into this All-Star break, and hopefully get a week off to clear their freaking heads. He needed to put up a zero in that inning. And this guy, I know I've yelled about it. We know what it is. I don't care about his contract for the next couple years. That's a problem for another day. That's a problem for another year. That's a problem for another half a decade, apparently. But the problem with him right now is he just doesn't have it in him to sit. That first hit of the game on a little bit of a looping line drive that is just over the head of Gleyber Torres, you know from that moment on, he is going to have a miserable inning because he cannot overcome the slightest bit of an issue. The slightest bit. And it's absolutely mind-numbing. And then, yeah, listen, it's. I heard Keith a little bit before. I hate the moping. And he's had a tendency to mope, as many of the players have, as they've gone through this stretch. And we've talked about Boone, and we've talked about the embodiment of what this team has become, the sad. Like it's almost like, you know, Volpe doesn't want to run because, oh, man, we hit into a double play. We had a chance to have a big inning. And that's what it feels like. It feels like they're down in the dumps, and no one personifies it more than Carlos Rodon. And, you know, it's funny because when he slams the bat and he's angry and he's yelling and he's this and that in the dugout, everyone's got a real problem with it. No one has a problem with it because I will tell you, we love Paul O'Neill and we love Jorge Posada And we love anybody else who might show emotion. Hell, I actually like the idea that he's a little pissed off, that he's slamming the bat. That's someone, I mean, we talked about it with Marcus Stroman, right? They won that night, so it's good that Marcus Stroman showed a little bit of feistiness. It's good Marcus Stroman was screaming. Hell, they needed it. They needed someone, but of course, when Rodon does it, we all hate it because we hate Rodon and his performance. And we could talk about the offense, and we're going to get to it in a second. And yes, it's only four runs, and it shouldn't be a death knell for this team. Giving up four runs in the first shouldn't make you feel like it's over, and obviously it does. But we could talk about the offense. The offense has been bad, right? The offense hasn't scored runs, but it's this pitching staff that's absolutely killed them. And Carlos Rodon, after the Yankees score a run, could not let the good vibes go for another 5 minutes. And I'm big on momentum. If you've heard me talk about the Mets with momentum and when I thought the season was dead, and this Yankee team right now, bad teams can never ride momentum. And to get that 1-0 lead, I'm not saying it's, oh, we're going to win this game. I'm not saying, oh, here comes the floodgates and this Yankee offense is going to have a big night. But at least they got out and scored a run in the first inning. At least they put together some good at-bats. There's a feeling of, hey, we got the lead, which over the course of the last 23 games seems to happen once every 10 years. So the idea they got the lead, the idea you're feeling good, you're playing a lousy Tampa Bay team, and it's all turned around in that first inning. It's a devastating inning. It's been a devastating stretch for this guy. It's been everything you feared from Carlos Rodon. Everything you feared from Carlos Rodon. And for the first, he is the embodiment of this team. There's no doubt about it. As we look and try and wonder, and we give all the numbers, and we're puzzled by the idea they started like a house of fire and won 50-plus games or whatever, and they're still, amazingly enough, after losing 17 of the last 23, they're tied with the Dodgers for the fourth best record in the sport. Right, we can downplay the first 2 months, and sure, why not? The way they're playing right now, I don't particularly feel great about it necessarily. But that's how good it was, and I don't want to hear, oh, they only beat good bad teams. It's such BS. It's absolute garbage. They were so good in the first 2 months that now, being the worst team in baseball for a month, they still have the fourth best record in the sport. But if you want to, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. That there were going to be players that you could look at, and they were going to determine what kind of season the New York Yankees had. And when the Yankees didn't go out and sign Blake Snell, and when the New York Yankees didn't add Montgomery, or really any other major starting pitcher besides, you know, Marcus Stroman, and we all felt like that wasn't enough, they whiff on Yamamoto, there's these other big-time free agents that they're not willing to spend the money on, and Hal and the chicken buckets, and all that conversation comes back up, and they weren't willing to do that, you look dead at that roster and that rotation, and you said, the Yankees, show me how Carlos Rodon does, and I will show you how the Yankees do. And the Yankees have followed the exact script of Carlos Rodon. The first 9 or 10 starts of the year, Carlos Rodon was pitching to an ERA under 3. Everything was going well. The vibes around the team were strong. He hadn't hit any adversity other than maybe one Baltimore start that he did recover from, to be fair to him. And the Yankees were winning, and he was pitching great. And now they have been an absolute disaster, and no one more prevalent in that disaster than Carlos Rodon. It's amazing sometimes that these players, there's a linchpin to a team. And what's scary for the New York Yankees is that the linchpin is someone it is impossible to have any faith in whatsoever. I tried. At the beginning of the year, I did. But you can see now, if a ball goes off a glove, if a bloop lands, if a jam shot goes over a second baseman's head, if a dribbler gets bobbled by the third baseman, if something like that happens, the inning, the game is over. He is incapable of overcoming the slightest of adversities. And if you want to talk about starting pitching, and if you want to talk about postseason pitching, which miraculously enough, my stupid mind still gravitates to because I still believe they're a playoff team. But those are the kind of things you have to overcome. You have to make a pitch. You have to pick up your teammates. He's incapable. And now let's get to somebody else who needs to pick up their teammates on the New York Yankees. Because this offense, yes, it's brutal. We know the bottom of it. But you know what I'm tired of hearing? Let's take a second, really, and let's just be honest about it. What I'm tired of hearing is, oh, once you get past those two guys of Soto and Judge, I mean, really, there's nothing else in the lineup. I mean, you could pitch around those two guys, and then you get to the rest of this crap, and, it's just terrible. And while that's true, right, that certainly feels true, here's the problem. No one's pitching around Juan Soto. No one's pitching around Juan Soto. And let's just be fair, because we've spent a lot of time on this station. A lot of time, whether it's me, whether it's certainly Sal Licata, whether it's anybody else, trying to find ways for the Yankees to justify to the great Juan Soto. And he is great. But it's been a lot of time trying to figure out how the Yankees can sell themselves to Juan Soto. How the Yankees can justify, hey, buddy, maybe an extension, but if not, where are you going to go? I mean, come on, let's be honest. You want to be a Yankee, right? It feels great. He loves the crowd, the reaction, all this stuff, right? All the roll calls, the everything about it. Hanging out with Glaber, getting haircuts at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everything else, he's in love with the team. He's in love with the city, but we got to sell Juan Soto. Well, I think it's now starting to become time for Juan Soto to start selling himself to the New York Yankees and asking them, hey, this is why you should pay me $550 million. Because no one's pitching around Juan Soto right now. And I know he's got a forearm issue. I know even, you know, he's missed a game for something else, and then last night he takes a swing and kind of grimaces. Maybe he's going through something. He's out there on the field. He's out there every day. And no one's pitching around Juan Soto right now. And if you watch this game, yes, he ends the game with a bullet 400 feet. He hit one against Cincinnati, 407 feet, just short of the wall. But he was pitching up first. He was popping up first pitch fastballs all over the place. Last night, in last night's game. And if you look at his numbers over the last 17, they've been un-Soto-like. And while Judge has slumped for the last maybe six games or so, if you're going to get nothing from them, then this offense clearly is a problem. And as we look to the Mets, and we're going to get to the Mets right now, as we look at Lindor and what he's done over the last month and a half, as they've absolutely had this torrid pace, maybe slowed down a little bit. They're, 5-4 over their last nine. But as they've worked themselves back to 500, as they've overcome the disastrous start, it's been their guys. It's been Lindor moving to the top of the order. And you know that's where I want Soto, at the top of the order. But what's been the problem with Lindor? I heard Lindor discussed a lot today on the afternoon show, and why is everybody turning their back on Lindor? What's the problem? Why do we always, when he goes through his struggles, it's never just the struggles, it's that he's a terrible player and they're stuck with this contract and Lindor's not good and blah, 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 blah. And I've always said Lindor is a great player, but the problem with Francisco Lindor as a Met has been, as the Mets flounder, he's unable a lot of the time to help, to stop, to get hot, and to carry a team through their struggles. And now this time, he has the meeting. He calls the meeting. He comes out, immediately plays well. They move him to the leadoff spot. And now he is, without question, the number one catalyst for the New York Mets as they are now trying to make noise inside this National League wild card and recover their season. And he's having a tremendous year. He should be an all-star. He's proving it every day. But right now, what we're seeing from Juan Soto is at the beginning of the year, he was everything we wanted and missed. And he was part of this urgency. And I've used the word a lot with the New York Yankees. I saw in the post game last night, Jack Curry using the word a lot, with the New York Yankees. The urgency they showed at the beginning of the year was put at the feet of Juan Soto. It certainly wasn't given credit to the manager. We certainly didn't give any credit to the general manager. We didn't give any credit to anybody else except for Juan Soto and the Juan Soto effect and Oswaldo Cabrera watching his batting practice and how as Juan Soto is bringing this mentality of every pitch is a battle and every at-bat's a war. And he's out there and he's getting big-time hits against the Astros to start the year and throwing guys out and the big home run against San Francisco and everything else. He was tremendous to start this year. And as the Yankees were rolling, so was Juan Soto. But the Yankees, as we all know, as the numbers will be told to you 100 times over the next 2 days or whatever, however long until the All-Star break, until they snap out of this funk, they've lost 17 out of 23. Hopefully tomorrow's not 18 out of 24. And we go on and on. But as they've been struggling here, Juan Soto has done the same. And we can talk about, oh, you pitch around him. He's got Judge hitting behind him. No one has pitched around Juan Soto. Juan Soto was popping up first pitch fastballs down the middle. And he's done nothing over the last month. And while he's a great player, and by no means am I putting blame at Juan Soto, but if you want to be a generational talent, if you want to be the guy that the Yankees, the front office, the manager, hell, the fan base, if we're all going to try and sell ourselves to Juan Soto, to try and suggest to him and convince him to grace us with his presence, it's time for him to show us why we need him. And it's time for him to step up and help carry this team out of the abyss. Because you know what? We can compare the team to last year and talk about how miserable they were. And we can compare the team to the second half of 22, even though that team finished with 99 wins and a division title. But if you want to compare those teams, you know what the difference is? Judge was on an island by himself. He's not supposed to be on an island by himself anymore. We got the other superstar. We got that superstar Patrick Ewing never got. We got that other guy to go with Judge and help carry this team and ultimately keep them from getting to these depths. With Judge last year, that miserable team and Franchy Cordero and everybody else, they were 10 games over 500 before Judge went down. 2022, he carried that team to 99 wins all by his lonesome. He's got a partner. And the partner helped at the beginning of the year while Judge was slumping in April. And it's time for him to awaken again. Because we could talk about what Trevino's going to give you and Wells is going to give you and Grisham's going to give you and obviously Volpe is going to give you. And we'll get into an at-bat by Verdugo in this game too that drives me absolutely up a wall. But maybe we need to see a little bit more out of the guy that we've been bending over backwards to show all the love to so that he would want to stay with us. Need a little bit more. And then you get to the Mets, and obviously Lindor and Nimmo, who hit a ball that I still can't believe. Me and Fliegelman were just talking about it. How that ball from Nimmo, opposite field, it looks like he got jammed and was late on it. How that ball carried out, I'll never know. But the power surge of Nimmo, Lindor being an absolute beast from the minute he got to the leadoff spot, have been obviously everything to this team. It started with J.D. Martinez and Lindor a little bit. It got to Vientos for a while. But the steady heartbeat for me of this whole offensive reimagining has certainly not been the all-star Pete Alonso. It's been Lindor and Nimmo have changed this offense. And the others, Vientos and J.D. Martinez, have come up and down a little bit at different times. But those two, especially Lindor at the top, have been the heartbeat of this team. They get the big hits. They score the runs. And they'll be the story on some level. But what you've seen here from the starting pitching, and namely last night, Quintana, who gives you 7 innings, which are, as you saw with this bullpen, and we've talked about the Met bullpen and how much they need to help it. What you saw from Quintana, 7 innings, 1 hit. Those 7 innings are just as important as the 1 hit. Because you tried to get to, all you needed was 2 innings from your bullpen last night, and it was a journey. It was an experience. And we'll get to the bullpen. But Quintana now, who has been, as puzzling and frustrating a player the Mets have had this year, considering you know how talented he is. How last year it felt like if only he were healthy the whole year. And, what he's done, what he did when he got traded to St. Louis. He's been a steady, solid arm in Major League Baseball and for the Mets his entire career. And so for him to pitch the way he pitched at the beginning of this year was rather puzzling, and certainly something where, you know, Severino was pitching much better than you even possibly thought. Manaea was doing well. You know, Scott would come up and pitch well. McGill had his moment when he first came up. Like, you had moments as you were waiting for your ace, Sanger, to come back where you expected Quintana to be the guy to carry this pitching staff, and it hasn't been. But over his last three starts, he's really turned it on. And him being able to give you innings, which is by far the most important part of this rotation right now, up until you can make some moves at the deadline, and obviously the Mets did make a trade for the reliever Maton from Tampa Bay, formerly with the Astros, and hopefully that'll help and give you some major league pitching in that bullpen. And we'll get to that bullpen, and we'll get to the Mets winning these games and what it means, and hopefully what it means for this GM, and obviously the dichotomy of everything else this team has and the way every other aspect of their team is performing, and then you get to the sloppiness and the crap that is the bullpen. But you get to the top of the order, and now you've got a rotation that hopefully the guy you were expecting to be your leader, certainly without Sanga, rounding into form, and a guy who, where it doesn't feel like it's a fluke, it doesn't feel like, oh, well, he's been up and down this year, the next three starts will be back to his old self. This is his old self. This is the guy Major League Baseball has come to know over the last 5 or 6 years, and somebody I think you can expect to help carry this rotation. And last night, one hit, seven innings, is exactly what this team needs, especially in the consideration of what this bullpen looks like, and guys like Reed Garrett tumbling back to earth. But as... same story, two teams going in opposite directions, beginning a six-game set right before the All-Star break that is going to be imperative for both teams in who they are and how this season goes. The Mets get off to a great start with their lineup and their guys come through, and the Yankees head to Tampa, lifeless yet again, offense doing nothing, including Juan Soto. And the starting rotation in absolute shambles. I'm not happy about it. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So we got a lot of baseball to discuss. And then, of course, I did watch Hard Knocks. And I thought, I got to tell you again, if this were another team, maybe I wouldn't find it so damn fascinating. But being a Giant fan, if you're a Giant fan and you watch those meetings and you watched what went on there, and you heard everything from this. I mean, it's just fascinating. And there's a bunch to take out of it, whether it's the Saquon stuff at the end of it, whether it's the quarterback situation. A lot of stuff from the Hard Knocks we'll get to. But obviously, we open with your baseball calls. Mets and Yankees to start. We'll get to the Giants and Hard Knocks. And we'll try and figure out what Brian Cashman can do now that he's down there in Tampa. Maybe he could do something. Take the boys out to a strip club or something. Lighten this load, because right now they are brutal. And I can't watch it anymore.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56. David Wells in 98. David Cone in 99. 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:30. McMonagle here with you. And I don't know, you know, if it's going to jar a lot of people to hear my getting on Juan Soto. I don't think it's that, you know. I mean, first of all, let's just make it clear. I'm not blaming him for this. It's not Juan Soto's fault. Even when he slumps, he's hitting 400. I mean, I just had I'll call it a viral video. I don't know if it went viral. I'll say that. Why not? Defending him when people suggest, you know, trading him. I want Juan Soto. I want to give him the $550 million contract he's going to expect and deserve. But, I mean, I just see this correlation right now, especially because I want Soto to hit leadoff. And I look across town and I see the big-time player making big-time money in Lindor, who gets the flack he gets because while the Mets are floundering, he last year's June swoon, he was terrible. The beginning of this season, terrible. And ultimately, yeah, the back of the baseball card will play out, and Soto's going to hit 25 to 35 home runs. He's going to drive in, you know, 80 to 90 runs. He's going to have his on-base percentage of damn near 500, you know, some crazy number, 420, 430, he's at least. He's going to have a 900 OPS. He's going to be a great player. There's no doubt about it. He's going to have a great year. But they need him now. They need him now. And no one, and the narrative that, oh, you know, teams will just pitch around him. They're not. They're not. Maybe they will. They're not even pitching around Judge. And Judge has been struggling, you know, maybe for a week. And maybe in a week I'll get on him. But this has been a longer thing for Soto. And Judge still, you know, has 30-plus home runs. Judge was killing it. Judge was carrying the team. And Juan Soto did it at the beginning of the year, and I give him credit for it. And he had a lot to do at the beginning of it. And if we're going to give him credit for the urgency at the start of the year, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where, as much as I am down on Boone too, because I watch it, but then I start to really think about it. I'm like, well, there was urgency at the beginning of the year. He got zero credit. Soto got all the credit. Now there's no urgency, and it's Boone's fault. And no one wants to say, well, what's going on with the players that helped create this urgency that I fell in love with, that I believed in? I certainly wasn't going to credit the manager for it. I was crediting the players. So when the urgency is gone, now we blame the manager. Like, that's my point when we get into Boone. And again, I am frustrated with him. I am frustrated with the way they've played these games. Last night wasn't anybody's fault. They played a fairly crisp game. They can't hit. Soto included. Judge included. Everyone but Ben Rice hits the 2-run home run, and their pitcher didn't give him a chance. I mean, honestly, I thought the bullpen was even... Cousins came in and pitched great. I know they give, you know... They give up a run on a check hit ball down the right field line. And, you know, I'm not going to get on Soto for that either. He's shaded the other way. And he's not the fastest guy in the world. We know that. We know that that's one of the weaknesses of his game is the coverage of ground in the outfield. And they had a speedy guy on first. I mean, that's just... The Yankees didn't play poorly last night. They just lost. Because their starting pitcher didn't give them a chance to win. And the offense has been struggling, including the great Juan Soto. But it's just when I start to argue with Yankee fans about Boone or anybody else, it's that he gets all the blame and never any of the credit. And so we'll kill him for we'll kill him for the lack of urgency and hustle and all that now. And when we saw it at the beginning of the year, we gave Juan Soto all the credit. Oh, it's the Soto effect. It's this, it's that. And now that it's gone, nobody says, hey, well, why isn't Soto, what happened to the Soto effect? Nobody asked that question. Nobody wants to know, like, why, you know, Soto's hitting under 220 for the last 10, 20 games. More than that, I think he's hitting 190 in the last 22 games. Nobody wants to ask that question. Nobody wants to wonder why Soto hasn't been there and why Soto isn't creating the same urgency inside the team as he did before, because we don't want to do that. We don't want to have that conversation. We'll gladly give that blame to Boone. And I'm not trying to give it to Soto. I'm saying it's a combination of everybody. And the manager gets credit for the urgency and the winning at the beginning of the year as much as he gets blame for the lack of it and the losing now. And so should Soto and so should Judge. They're not immune from it because of other guys' struggles, including Verdugo, who, you know, I got to tell you, I'm going to get to the calls in just a second, I promise. You know, I like to ramble a little bit. Verdugo had an at-bat in this game with a runner on base against, you know, Peapod. That's what I like to call him. The starting pitcher for the Tampa Bay. And he had a changeup work, and he was actually pitching fairly well. I get it, okay? They're always great against the Yankees. He got the count 2-0. And there was a fastball down the middle, 94 miles an hour, for a left-handed hitter, slightly in, slightly low, middle. And he fouled it back. I mean, that's the epitome of what's going on here. These guys, I mean, that's a pitch you have to drive. You have to drive that baseball. Gleyber Torres gets those kind of pitches. You have to drive the baseball. I mean, it's just been it's so frustrating to watch these guys who at the beginning of the year were the reason for the best record in baseball. And I know I say that a lot, and it probably pisses off a lot of Yankee fans. It's part of the story of the season as much as the losing. It is. You might not like it, but it is. And trying to figure out why you went from there to here is part of it. It's part of it. And it drives me up a wall, but I'm just saying, it's time to look at everybody, including the great Juan Soto, including the great Aaron Judge, who came up with multiple spots here, going dating back to Wednesday the 3rd against Cincinnati when he came up in the 7th inning, runners on 1st and 3rd, and they didn't walk him. They pitched to him, and he hit a first-pitch double play. And he's had a couple of scenarios in the last few games where he had an opportunity to really impact the baseball game and help the Yankees win, and he hasn't done it, and Soto's been bad for the last 3 weeks. It's okay to say. And as we continue to just fall, like, it's funny too, because we get on Aaron Boone for saying the same things over and over again. So does the fans. We the fans say the same things over and over again. All you have to do is pitch around those two guys and the rest of the lineup. All you have to do is pitch around those two guys and the rest of the lineup sucks. All you got to do is pitch around those two guys and the rest of the lineup sucks. We just regurgitate it over and over again. And then we get mad at the manager for saying the same stuff that he says. We say the same thing over and over and over again. It ain't true. Because right now, the middle of that lineup is not getting pitched around. Judge is getting pitches and opportunities. They're first and third, one out against Cincinnati. I was in the ballpark. They didn't walk him. Juan Soto's getting fastballs down the middle to start every at-bat, and he's popping them up. They ain't walking him. So all you have to do is pitch around. Yeah, all right, that's true. They ain't doing it. Everybody's going right after them. Yeah, they draw one walk here and there. But in big spots, have they been pitched around? How many times has the other manager put up four fingers? Not as much as we like to regurgitate. Let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. Bob in North Carolina. What's up, Bob?
What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Make sure you give Fleeks some love. He's a good man.
Yeah, Fleeks is a great man.
He's a good man. So
good man.
So I tell you, just listening to you rant for the last like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You and I both know, as huge baseball fans, dude, it's soap opera. It's an absolute soap opera. So your team's going to be high, your team's going to be low.
Yep.
You cannot win a friggin' championship with two guys in one. You can't do that. You can't. So
no, I understand that, but you can't win 50 games with it either. And how'd they do that? You can't have the best record in baseball with two guys either.
They get hot, Chris.
Well, and now they're cold. Hot. So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So they get hot, they get cold, and now I can't expect them to get hot again. Well, I understand that, but you just said you can't win the World Series with two guys, but you're saying yeah, it's a soap opera, but the last few scenes are the way the rest of the show plays out. Like that's what I'm saying. You can't. Like this is where we go. We go. Hey, it's a soap opera. There are highs. There are lows. And then once you hit the lows, oh, you moron! You think there'll be another high? Well, I mean, you just called it a soap opera. Is there not going to be another high? Because let's just be totally honest about building the team. Brian Cashman was there. Today he's going to look to improve this team. Like we went into it with Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe comes out of the year, and not just me, and not just Yankee fans. Everybody. I watch MLB Network. They're doing breakdowns of his swing and how it's different than last year, and how he's got the potential to be a superstar. What happened to that Anthony Volpe? What happened to that approach? What happened to the young kid showing promise? What happened to Verdugo, who at the beginning of the year was the dog that brought a lot of the stuff this Yankee team needed, the swagger, the hits? Now we just dismiss them as terrible. That's it. We dismiss them as terrible, and it's Brian Cashman's fault for putting terrible guys on the roster. When those are the same guys building the best record in baseball. Like let's just be fair about it. This is why I'm considered a Yankee shill and a Brian Cashman defender, because I'm fair. Because I carry the 50 games I carry the start of the season and the first 2 months with the same gravitas as I carry the last month. And I'm not supposed to do that as a Yankee fan. I'm supposed to put all of my effort and all of my thinking and everything this team is into the last 3 weeks, and everything prior to that was make-believe and I dreamed it. I can't do that. I saw it. It happened. It took place. Anthony Volpe had an 800 OPS and a 25-26 game hitting streak. I watched it with my eyes. But I know it was against terrible teams and bad pitching, and they faced nothing but great pitching since, as they got swept by the Cincinnati Reds. It was just, hey, it's great pitching, and they can't hit great pitching. As they're losing to the lousy Tampa Bay Rays. On some level, this is the same team. I know they've lost Stanton. And Stanton's a huge part of it, and it's been a devastating loss. But Verdugo was a good player for them. Maybe not an all-star player, but he wasn't this. Anthony Volpe was about to take off. What happened? And it's never on the players. It's the Yankee coaching staff. It's the Yankee this. It's the Yankee that. It's somebody's ruining him. Okay. They got to play better. Yes, you got to go out and get players, no doubt. You got to go out and add. By no means am I saying not to. You need another infielder. You need bullpen help, and you probably could go get a starter now with the way I just have lost all faith in Rodon. So don't get me wrong. But Carlos Rodon, another one. Carlos Rodon was pitching to a sub-3 ERA. Oh, he was doing that against lousy offenses. The Rays are a lousy offense! It's not about who they're playing. It's about the way they're playing. Sal in Queens. What's up, Sal?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
That comment you made a few minutes ago about Cashman having to take the team out to a strip club, that was the best that you could say.
Oh,
that sums it up. But let's shift gears for a second. I know I heard you talk about Soto and Judge. I'm a disgruntled Yankee fan. I'm just disgusted. Disgusted. There's no other words to say anything about
this team.
But anyway, I was listening the other day. I saw a comment online that somebody called in and was talking with one of your peers that was live, and they were talking about what they think about having Buck Showalter come and coach the Yankees if Boone was to get left. I mean, yes, he's a good guy, but no.
I mean, it's no, of course not. I mean, it's not.
But the way this team is right now, he can't handle. He's a little. Excuse me for saying this, but his age, he can't manage the Yankees. I know he did it way back when. And he was,
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily his age. We've seen, you know, famously in 2003, Jack McKeon come in at, 75 or whatever he was and take the Marlins to a World Series championship. It's not so much his age necessarily. It's that, I don't think the team would react well to firing Boone and bringing in Buck Showalter. Maybe they would. Maybe it would be such a culture shock. Again, I don't think it's that much of a culture shock. I think, you know, I mean, because we watched Buck Showalter last year. How much criticism did he have for the Mets last year? Like, did Buck Showalter show up to press conferences and rip guys new ones left and right? Maybe I miss something. Maybe I miss something. Maybe I miss something. Maybe Buck Showalter just went in there into every press conference and just ripped the guys as they were going through a miserable June. Or did he say the same crap Aaron Boone says? Oh, but he gets on guys. We know he gets on guys. We have reports that Boone gets on guys. It's just not working. And it might get to a point where a managerial change is something to consider. I don't think it'll happen this year. And I don't know if he deserves it, but I'm open to it. Right now, I'm as frustrated as anyone. So I'm open to it. And Buck Showalter is just throwing out a name. Let's just be totally honest. Buck Showalter is throwing out a name. The Yankees aren't going to bring in Buck Showalter. They went out and hired a former manager with two different major managerial experience track record, and hired him as the bench coach. That's the guy they're going to. I mean, that's if they fire Boone, that's exactly where they're going. They're not going to hire some. You know, I joke too when they put out the poll about the managers who should take over. I'm like, why the hell isn't Wally Backman on this list? Like, that's a perfect name. Wally Backman. He'll get in their faces. He'll be aggressive. Yeah, hire Wally Backman to take over for the New York Yankees. Jonathan in Lakewood. What's up, Jonathan?
Yeah, first of all, everyone was ripping on Soto. You got
Who's everyone?
In the beginning of the
I don't know
season,
if anyone is. Yeah.
Everyone keeps on saying that it's over. He's hitting under 220, right? In the beginning of the season, I've been by a lot of games in the beginning, and he was amazing.
No doubt.
No doubt about it. We just have to
I'm not. I am not blaming Juan Soto. I am not saying I don't want Juan Soto. I'm not saying Juan Soto is overrated. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a $500 million contract. He deserves all of it. He's fantastic. He's a great player. And I want him to be a Yankee for the next 12, 13 years because that's the kind of contract I think he's going to get. But if you're a great player, right now the Yankees are floundering and he can't flounder with them. We need him to step up. And I'm just pointing out the fact that everybody talks about the rest of the lineup and we regurgitate the same line about you can't do it with two players. All you have to do is pitch around Judge and Soto and nobody else can beat you. And the fact is they're not. They're attacking Juan Soto and he's struggling and we need him to no longer struggle. I could scream all day that, hey, Wells, wake your ass up. We need some hits. Hey, Grisham, you need to wake up and get some hits. I have no confidence it's in there with Grisham. I don't know what Wells is. I know Juan Soto is one of the great players in the game, and right now they need him. And I don't think that's unfair to say. I don't think that's unfair to point out. The fact of the matter is, as great as he was at the start of the year, they need him now, and he hasn't been there.
That's true. Also, one question.
Yes.
Do you believe that Bad Boys 4 is better than number 3?
Do I think Bad Boys 4 is better than number 3? I have not seen Bad Boys 4. It's not a movie I would go see in the movie theater. It's a movie I would rent one day or watch one day when it's on home box office, which is the only thing I'm calling HBO from this moment on. And I'm more like the next movie I'll see is Beverly Hills Cop 4 as opposed to Bad Boys 4. So I don't know if Bad Boys 4 was better than Bad Boys 3. I don't even know if I've seen Bad Boys 3, to be totally honest with you. I know I saw the first two. Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. I'm so glad I got you. I turned on the radio. I heard you that you're on, and I got 2 points to make, if I can. First of all, you're a better man than me going in August down to Orlando. I've done that with my son.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, we went to all the theme parks back then. And I told you, my son's in the Army now. But
It's hot,
Chris.
Joe.
You're a good man. Yeah, you're a good man. You're gonna deal with it, and it's gonna be a great time, guaranteed.
We've been already. My wife sells Disney. She's a Disney travel agent. Picked it up as a hobby because of how much she loves the place. So we've been there before. I'm well aware of what I'm getting into and the fun we'll have, but it's swamped the second. I'm a sweater the second I get out there. Thank you very much.
God bless you and the family with that.
Thank you.
Chris, I just wanted to say, Juan Soto, I seen a thing, I don't know which series exactly, might have been with Boston, that they were behind. And Juan Soto hit a home run. I mean, they were way behind, and they're doing a dance. Like, I'm from a different generation. I'll be 55 years old in April. And I don't know. You know, I grew up watching guys like Mike Schmidt was my idol. Willie Stargell, guys like that.
Yeah.
Where after they hit a home run, they kind of put their head down, run around the bases.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with Juan Soto. Guy's a generational talent, obviously. But it's such a different generation in baseball, and it's just stuff I don't like personally.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, the thing is, I don't think it matters. Two, it is a different generation with different players, and honestly, a different fan base that this Major League Baseball is trying to cater to. The young kids want to see this stuff, whether it's right, wrong, indifferent. The fact of the matter is baseball is perceived as boring. It's waning with little leagues and everything throughout, development through the younger players and the younger fans. And they want to let the young kids play, and they want to show some exuberance, and they want to show a little bit of attitude, and they want to show a couple bat flips. And I have no problem with it. It's changed. And I have no problem with it. And I'm not saying that. Listen, is there a, you know, he didn't lay down cardboard and start breakdancing. I mean, you know, they go through their celebrations after a home run, no matter what the score is. They're trying to get hyped up. I'd rather have that than the bunch of, you know, moping, hang-headed crybabies I've seen in the dugout. Honestly, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have some excitement or some anger because I feel like there's moping. And honestly, you know, it's funny too because I really feel like in some ways, I was thinking about this yesterday, in some ways the Yankee team has taken on the embodiment of a lot of the fan base. A lot of the fan base, a lot of the New York fan base, the Yankee fan base, certainly the ones on Twitter that I've been, you know, arguing with for all this time are a woe is me mentality. Oh, who has it worse than Yankee fans? They haven't won a championship since 09. A lot of crying from the Yankee fans. And I feel like the team has embodied that. I feel like there's a lot of woe is me. It's bound to go wrong. It's destined to fail. You know, now there's different reasons. I'm sure they're not sitting around going, we'll never win with Boone and Cashman, which is what the sad sack, woe is me, doom is around every corner New York Yankee fan thinks. But I don't know what it is, but it just feels like that's how this group is reacting. You know, we were great. We were about to have a big time season, and now we've hit the skids. And man, I stink, and we stink, and we're struggling. And I don't know what we're gonna do. And man, oh man! Instead of just saying, "Hey, we're the freaking Yankees. We're through a bad stretch. We'll come out of it." Which, I mean, sometimes it's felt like the Yankees do too much of that. And I've said that prior, before all of this nonsense, before even the season started, that I think part of the issue with Aaron Boone has been the messaging of where the Yankees will be fine, will come out of it. And sometimes there's been a lack of urgency because of that. Because it's like, hey, it's June, July. I mean, we're struggling, sure, but we're the New York Yankees. We have a great team, and we'll find ourselves in the playoffs. Don't worry about it. And that's been a problem. It's been a problem. And I thought the urgency at the beginning of the year, like, wiped that away. And it felt like they weren't taking these games lightly, and they were still, even though they had won 2 of 3, they weren't satisfied with that, and they played all their guys on the third game of the series. Like, they did a lot of that stuff, and it just felt like they had gotten away from it. And now it's almost like to the other extreme, where it's just like, you know, everyone's hanging their head, and everyone's like, man, we stink. And I don't know which one's worse. Let's go to Rob in Staten Island. What's up, Rob?
What's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Just wanted the proposal for the Mets.
Like, yes.
I'm so sick of seeing Adovino and East to go.
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen last night was very frustrating. You get that great pitch game, you get the offense scoring, and then you can't get 6 outs. I mean, you need to bring in Nunez, the only pitcher really you have faith in at the moment, maybe him and Diaz. He gets the final couple outs, and then you go to, you go to Adovino, and he's just brutal.
Yeah, he's very inconsistent.
I'm sorry, you go to Reed Garrett. Adovino's the one who couldn't get out of the eighth inning, and then you go to Reed Garrett for the ninth, and you have to bring in Diaz because Reed Garrett's been terrible.
Yeah, he's been up and down, too. He got off to a good start. But a couple names are going to throw up in, and I'll hang out and listen. If the Pirates fall out of it, maybe Chapman has a setup guy. Or Robertson from the Rangers, and thank you for the goal.
No, no problem. Yeah, I mean, listen, those are the names you're going to be able to get. They got Maton from Tampa Bay yesterday. Like, those are the names. Here's the thing about the Mets: like, they have to get just arms. There's no doubt about it. They have guys right now. Whether it's the kid who made his major league debut the other day, you know, the different guys in this bullpen, who just aren't major league pitchers. And you got to add, I mean, there's no way around it. They're going to add guys like, you know, Maton, who has a just under 5 ERA, but had a career as a major league pitcher, and hopefully someone you can get in your room and work on some things with and get the best out of him like you did Reed Garrett at the start of the year. So there's going to be a level of relievers there without question going to acquire, right? Then the point is, though, how far will they take it? How aggressive will they be? Because watching this team last night, I mean, it's painfully obvious. It's the same thing I said yesterday. The starting rotation's really starting to come into form, especially if Quintana can get back to this. I mean, Quintana was great last night. He's quietly gone about the last three starts being very, very good. Very good. And if you can get that kind of reliable Quintana, now you're with, hopefully, eventually, Senga coming back, what Severino has been, and, you know, Minaya, as long as you can get innings from them, as well as the good starts, you know, the results of the one run, two runs, or whatever the case may be. But, like, the lineup's killing it. The rotation's fine. It might be lacking an ace come playoff time. If you get into a playoff series, yeah, you'd like to have a dominant starter somewhere mixed in. And I don't know if you have a dominant guy necessarily. But ultimately, through the rest the regular season, compared to who they're playing against and the other teams they're battling with, in the National League wild card, I think their rotation's fine. Their offense is one of the best in baseball. And it just feels like they are missing one thing. They are missing a competent. It doesn't have to be all world. They don't have to go out and get three closers at the deadline. But like, you just need a competent bullpen. The bullpen is atrocious at the moment. Atrocious. So yeah, they'll pick up guys like Maton. They'll pick up guys who can come in and be serviceable. They'll pick up guys off the scrap heap where, and, you know, they traded Maton for just cash. I mean, that's a deal. How could you have a problem with it? It's money. It's, you got the richest owner in baseball. You gave him money for a reliever who you're hoping to get the best of for a month or whatever. Like, that's, these are the easy kind of moves that the Mets are surely going to make to try and just stabilize this bullpen. The question is, will they sell legitimate prospects to target upper-level relievers who can come in and be your eighth-inning guy, who can come in and be the guy you go to in a big spot, be the guy who might even close games if Diaz struggles or if the matchup is better, like legitimate big-time relievers. Are they willing to do that? The Mason Millers of the world, the Tanner Scotts of the world, are they willing to make those kind of moves? And if the answer is yes, then prepare to sell big prospects because the Yankees certainly will be. Like, there are going to be teams who are more desperate and are in a different space organizational-wise where they might be more desperate to go get a bullpen reliever. Certainly the Yankees fall right into that category. Desperately need bullpen. This is a win-or-bust type year. They'll be much more motivated and much more willing to part with prospects to get relievers than I think the Mets will be. So it's going to come down to what they believe in this team and how comfortable Stearns is getting off his path. But right now, I mean, I think you have to. Now, you got five more games before the deadline and before the All-Star break. And yes, the deadline's not till June 30th, but you have to go out there with aggression in the and hit the trade market now. Like, you can't just wait for the 30th to really get in on it. I mean, you have to be willing to have these discussions, and like, you have to make up your mind prior to the 30th. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what GM, you know, theoretically, I can get right up to the deadline. Yeah, theoretically. In reality, you have to make a decision on what you're going to do and what you're willing to do and at what level you're willing to do it prior to the day of. And that's why these games are so important.